B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Samach Hei. We're going to start two lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Gemara, Yotzto kat rishayno v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Dalad Omid Aleph that the Korban Pesach was brought in three groups. The first group, the second group, the third group. The third group was always relatively smaller than the other groups. And we saw in the Mishnah that even though in the other groups, the Levim would manage to say the whole of Hallel twice before finishing the Shechita of all the Korbonis Pesach of that group. In the third group, they never even got to the point of Ohavti Ki Yishma Hashem in Hallel, even just once. Says the Gemara Tana. The Braisa says, Hi Nikras Kat Atzlonis. This third group was called a lazy group. Asks the Gemara, V'holoi Sagi Telav Hochi. We've learnt in the previous daf that there was a mitzvah to split everybody into three groups. That's the way it was supposed to be done. It wasn't possible that everybody should be in the first or second group. So why are you labelling the third group as being lazy? Answers the Gemara, Afilo hochi iboyele lizruzi nafshayu. They should have, each and every one of them, should have made sure to go hastily and make his way to the first group rather than to the last group. It's true that we need a third group, but the individuals in the third group should have really tried their best to get into an earlier group. Kedetanya Rebbe Oimir, and a similar concept that something that's inevitable, it has to happen, nonetheless, it's somewhat a negative, and that's Yef Shela Oilam B'loi Boisem. The world cannot exist, or the world needs to have spice merchants, or B'loi Borsi. We also need the tanners, those that are tanning the hides, the skins. Obviously, those who are engaged in working with the spices, the smell is very good. Those who are busy tanning the skins, the smells are very bad. Ashrei misha umnosei b'sam. Fortunate is the one who his craft is with spices. Oiloi lemisha umnosei b'rusi. And a shame or woe to the person who his work, his craftsmanship is working with the skins. Similarly, Yef shele oilam b'loi zechorim u'b'loi nekevois. The world cannot exist without boys and girls. Ashrei mi shebonav zechorim. Fortunate is the one whose offspring are boys. Oiloi lemi shebonav nekevois. And less fortunate is the one whose offspring are girls. So you see there that even though it's inevitable and we need everything, we need the spices, we need the tanners, we need the boys, we need the girls. However, fortunate are those that belong to one group, less fortunate are those who belong to the other group. The same applies with Korban Pesach. Of course, we need three groups. The last group are less fortunate, and in the last group, we actually blame them somewhat. We label them as being lazy because they should have put in the effort to get into an earlier group. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Kamaseu Bechol V'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah that whatever they would do on a weekday Erev Pesach, they also did on a Shabbos on Erev Pesach. The Kohanim, they would rinse the floor of the Azora, and that was, even though it was Shabbos, they would always do it on Erev, on every other day, they would do it on Erev Pesach, because of the amount of blood that was there, but on Shabbos, the Chachomim held that it should not be done, and they did it anyway. Asks the Gemara, Shaloi Beretzoin Man, who are these Chachomim? Which opinion is it that has an issue with sweeping or with cleaning the floors of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos? Omer of Chizda, Shaloi Beretzoin Rabbi Eliezer. It's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer who was opposed to what they were doing, and the other Chachomim were okay with it. De'i Rabbonon, because according to the Rabbonon of Rabbi Eliezer, we'll soon see what this is about, Ha'omri Shvusu, the Rabbonon say, that sweeping a floor is only also mid Rabbonon on the regular Shabbos or Yom Tov. Ve'en Shvus b'mikdash, and the Shvus doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, as we saw previously in the Gemara, we saw at the end of Erevin, that most things that are only Osur Midrabbonon did not apply in the Beis HaMikdash, and since according to the Rabbonon, sweeping is only ever Osur Midrabbonon, therefore in the Beis HaMikdash it was okay. Rabbi Eliezer, however, holds that sweeping on Shabbos is Osur Min HaTorah, and therefore he held that it should not be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Mayhi, where do we find this machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim regarding sweeping floors? The Tanya we learnt in a Braisa, we learnt this in Shabbos Daf Tzadik Hei. Echot hacholev, somebody who milks a cow. Vamachabetz, and somebody who strains the congealed milk, separating the cheese part from the water part. Vamagabin, and somebody who builds up all the cheese and to make cheese. He takes all the harder, the congealed part of the milk in order to make a solid block of cheese. Kegroigris, all those, if one does it the size of a dried fig, he's transgressed these melachos on Shabbos. Hamechabed, somebody who sweeps the floor. Vamarabet, somebody who sprinkles water to dampen the dust that it should settle on the floor. Vaharoide chaluis dvash, and somebody who removes the honeycombs from the hives or from wherever they are. So, and removing these honeycombs is also a melacha. Then b'shoigeg, if any of these were done by mistake on Shabbos, b'shabbos chayev chatos. It's one of the lametes melachis. If he did it intentionally, he'll be chayev koros. If there were edim, he'll get skila. He did it by mistake, it'll be chayev chatos. On Yom Tov, where there's no skila or koros, there's no chatos, hizid be Yom Tov. If he did it on purpose, on Yom Tov, loikes arboim, he will get malchus. Divi Rebbe Eliezer. That's Rebbe Eliezer who says that all the above mentioned are isurim in HaTorah, one of them being mechabed, sweeping the floor. Because when you sweep the floor, inevitably you're going to level out some of the grooves in the floor, and that is one of the av melachis, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's considered boine. Similar to building. The Chachomim say, echot ze ve'echot ze. According to Rashi, this is referring to mechabit, sweeping, umarabit, and roide chalis, dvash, that either sweeping or dampening the dust or removing the honeycombs, according to Rebbe Eliezer, eine elo mishom shvus, they're only osur midrabonon. And then you have over here that when regarding sweeping, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's osur min haTorah. Therefore, in the Beis Hamikdash, it was osur, and therefore, according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Kohanim should not have done it. And those are the Chachomim that the Mishnah was referring to, who were displeased with what the Kohanim did. However, according to the Chachomim who argued with Rebbe Eliezer, then on a regular Shabbos outside the Beis Hamikdash, sweeping is only osur midrabanon, and therefore, in the Beis Hamikdash, it was mutter. And Tosfos here discusses why should there be an issue of mechabed, of sweeping in the Beis HaMikdash. The floor was made of stone, there were no grooves there. And Tosfos says that between the rows of stones there were grooves, and they would be leveled out by sweeping, and therefore there would be an issue. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi says, so that was Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Shloi Bertzain Chachomim is Rebbe Eliezer. Rav Ashi says, Afilo Teima Shloi Bertzain Chachomim. Even the Chachomim that we just saw before, who hold that sweeping on Shabbos is only Asa Midrabanon, they would also agree that in the Beis HaMikdash they should not have done it. Even though we know there's a rule, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, those things that are only Asa Midrabanon in the Beis HaMikdash are Mutter. However, Rabbi Nosson, he, according to Rabbi Nosson, nonetheless, it would be a problem in the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, Reb Nosson Oimer, Reb Nosson said, Shvus Tzricha Hitiru. The only types of Isurim Derabonon that were allowed in the Beis HaMikdash are those that were necessary. Shvus She'ino Tzricha. But a Derabonon which is not necessary, Lo Hitiru. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't allow it. And since over here, sweeping the floor was something that was not really necessary, and therefore, even the Chachomim of Rebbe Eliezer will agree that the Kohanim should not have done that. Continues the Gemara that we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, Kois Hoyo Memali, that when the blood would pile up on the floor of the Azara, and before letting all the blood drain out of a hole in the wall of the Azara, they would take a cupful of the blood and throw it onto the wall of the Mizbeach, and V'loi Hoydu Loi Chachomim, the Chachomim didn't agree with what they were doing. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, and in the Braisa we're going to see a little bit more about this dialogue between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim as to whether it was necessary or whether there was any point of taking a cupful of this blood and throwing it onto the wall of the Mizbeach. And before we even see inside, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why did they do this? There was always the fear that with the vast amount of korbanos and the speed that everything was going on those few hours on Erev Pesach, that one of the korbanos, their blood, didn't make it to the Mizbeach. And we need it to be sprinkled. A korban will only atone and is only kosher if the blood is put onto the mizbeach. So therefore, they would take a cup full of blood, and then even in the event that that was a korban whose blood got spilt, a few drops of that blood, which was mixed into all the rest of the blood, will probably be in this cup. With liquids, they mix with each other, and therefore, they would throw it onto the mizbeach, and that way, all the korbanos would certainly have had their minimum requirement of zrika. Let's see the braisa inside. Reb Yehuda Omer, Kois hoyo memale midama tarivus. They would take a cupful of this blood, the mixture of bloods on the floor of the mizbeach of the Beis Hamikdash, she'im yishafich domo shel echod men, so that in the event that the blood of one of the korbanos got spilled, nimtzo ze machshiroi, then this cupful will make that korban kosher. Amar lo Reb Yehuda. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, "V'haloi loy niskabel b'kli." The blood on the floor flowed straight from the animal onto the floor. It was never received in a kli, and we know that blood that went straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor and only then was scooped up in a kli is not kosher for zrika. So, you, Rabbi Yehuda, you're taking the blood from the floor. It can't be a kosher zrika. Says the Gemara, "Me no yodi." How do you know that the blood I'm scooping up from the floor is not blood that was first received in a vessel? What the Chachamim actually said was, "Shemo lo niskabel bekli." You have this korban, and you don't know if its blood found its way to the mizbeach. What does it help that you're scooping up the blood from the floor? It could be that the blood of this animal went straight onto the floor, not via a vessel. And if it didn't first go via a vessel, then before spilling, it's not going to be kosher for the zrika. Omer lohen, Rabbi Yehuda said to them, "Af ani lo yomarti elo b'niskabel b'kli." You're right. In the event that the blood spilled straight from the animal onto the floor, then what I'm doing won't help. But I, Rabbi Yehuda, say that since it could be that there was blood that was received in this bowl and only then it spilt, and if it doesn't get to the mizbeach, the animal, the korban is not kosher, I want to collect a cupful of this blood in order that those korbanos should be kosher. Asks the Gemara, "Mino yoda?" And why do you assume that bichlal, that the blood that was on the floor was first received in a vessel, in a bowl, and then spilt? Why should that be the case? Kohanim's reason, since Kohanim are very meticulous to do their job properly, and therefore we take it for granted that no korban, or the korban Pesach, would have been let to just its blood flow onto the floor without it being received in a vessel. So we take it for granted it was received in the vessel. Asks the Gemara, is risen, if they're so meticulous and so is risen, am I mishtapich? Then why did it spill after they received the blood? As agav zrizu saihu de ovdi mishtapich. Since they were working so fast after they received the blood, it could be that in transit the blood spilt. But we don't assume that they never received it in the first place. What does it help that you're taking a cup of blood from the vast amount of blood that was on the floor of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Azara, but amongst the blood, there's also a lot of blood which is called dam tamtzis. There's five different types of blood discussed otherwise in Shas, and one of them is the dam shanefesh is toluboy, which is the blood that when that blood leaves the animal, it cannot live. And that's the blood that comes out with force. Afterwards, there's blood that just trickles out. That's called dam tamtzis. Most of the blood on the floor is dam tamtzis, is not dam shanefesh toluboy. So, and zrikas adam can only be, at this point we assume, it can only be with dam shanefesh toluboy. So even if there is some blood that should have gone onto the mizbeach, but the amount of blood, there's so much more blood, which is not blood that can go on the mizbeach, that this blood is going to be is going to be nullified almost with the rest of the blood. So what does it help taking a cup full of this blood? Well, adam tamtis morav boy. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, da'omar dam atamtis dam ma'alyohi. That this dam tamtis is also a blood which is fit to be used for zrika, for to make a korban kosher. The Tani we learned in a brisa, dam tamtis ba'azhara. According to the Tanakama, if somebody drinks blood which is not the blood that the nefesh is toluboy, it's just the blood that trickles out of an animal a few moments after it gets shechted, not immediately after it gets shechted, then it's only a lav. It's not got the regular chorus for drinking blood. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chorus. Rabbi Yehuda says that even dam hatamtzis is chorus. It's considered dam. It's got the same status as dam shanefesh toliboy. So too for the zrika, it's good enough. Ask the Gemara v'omer Rabbi Loza moider Rabbi Yehuda le'inin kaporo she'ine mechapir. Rabbi Loza says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's only true regarding the issa of drinking blood, but regarding the kapora of doing the zrika of a korban, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the only blood you can use is blood shanefesh toliboy and not dam tamtzis. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, ki hadam hu hanefesh yechapir, that the type of blood which is mechapir is only the dam hu hanefesh, which the life of the animal is dependent on it. Dam shanefesh yetzabay mechapir, dam she'ena nefesh yetzabay eina mechapir. Only blood that the life force, the spirit of the animal is dependent on it, can be used for atonement and not the other blood. Elo, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, the reason Rabbi Yehuda said that there was some use in taking this cup of blood was not because the other bloods could also be used for zrika. No, but he says, de omar ein dam mevatel dam. The Rabbi Yehuda holds that blood is not mevatel blood, since it's of the same nature, same physical nature, and dam is not mevatel dam. And Rashi brings where this could have other halachic ramifications of this, but dam is not mevatel dam, and therefore, even though there's only a tiny bit of this particular korban's blood in this whole mixture, it doesn't matter, it's not bottle, and you can take a cupful, and it will make that korban kosher. Continues the Gemara, Samechem with Beis. Tanya, Omar lehen Rabbi Yehuda lechachomim. Rabbi Yehuda asked the chachomim as follows: Ledevreichem, according to you, chachomim, lomo poikikin eso azara. Now there used to be, there was a stream that was flowing through the azara, and there would be on the wall of the Beis Hamikdash and the wall of the azara, there would be a hole, and the water would constantly flow through the azara and out. When they wanted to clean, to sweep and to clean up the Azara from the blood that had spilt there, they would block up the end of this stream, and then it would overflow into the floor of the Azara. And obviously this stream was somewhat lowered into the floor. It would overflow, and then they would be able to use that water to clean the Azara. And normally this stream would be flowing, and any blood that would flow into the stream, from a lot of the blood that was poured onto, that spilt on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, would flow out. On Erev Pesach, however, they would block up this exit, allowing all the blood to pile up in the Azara. So Rabbi Yehuda says, according to me, I need this blood to pile up, because we're afraid that maybe there was a korban that after the blood was received, the blood spilt. I need to be able to take this cupful and pour it on and throw it onto the Mizbeach. Therefore, I'm blocking up the exit of the water in order that nothing should flow out, and we shouldn't lose this blood. But you, Chachomim, who you say that there's no point in doing this because of the reasons we saw before, then why did you block up the exit of this stream? Ledevreichem, according to you, Chachomim, Loma Poikikin, why did you plug up Esa Azora, the hole that's stopping the liquids, the waters, from flowing out of the Azora? Omruloi, the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shevachu lebnei Aaron. It's a praise for Aaron HaKohen, for the bnei Aaron, for the Kohanim, sheyelchu ad arkavu yiseyem bedam, that they should be so engaged in the mitzvah, and they should have so much pleasure with the mitzvahs, that they should be up to their knees in the blood of the Korban Pesachs. And in order to show their love for the mitzvahs, therefore they would allow the blood to pile up. Asks the Gemara, we know that there's a halacha, that the Kohanim have to be doing their avoida whilst they're standing on the floor of the Azara. And if you've got blood on the floor, they're not standing on the floor. There's a chatzita, there's a separation between their feet and the floors, and the avoida will be posel. Answers the Gemara, lachu. Since it was liquid, it wasn't solid, it doesn't separate between the person and the floor. Kedetanya, like we saw in Abraisa, hadam, vadyoi, blood, ink, vacholov, and milk, vadvash, and honey, yaveshim, if they are solid, if they are dry, choytzitzin, then they separate. However, lachin, if they are damp, if they are wet, in choytzitzin, then they do not separate. Ask the Gemara, The clothes of the Kohanim doing the Avodah will get stained. Utnana, we learnt in the Braisa, Hoyu Begodov Matushtoshim, if the Kohanim's clothes are dirtied or soiled, V'ovad Avodoso, and he does his Avodah that way, Psula, the Avodah's posel. Over here you're saying that they had blood coming up to their knees, then clearly their clothes are going to get stained, and if their clothes get stained, the Avodah's posel. V'chi Teiman, are you going to suggest the madle luhula monayu, they would lift up their cloaks and tuck in the end of their cloaks into their belts, and that way, from their knees down, their clothes would not be getting dirty. Vatanya, did we not learn in the Braisa? Midoivad, the pasuk says that the kohen would have to wear v'lovash hakohen midoivad. Midoy means fitted linen shirt. That means the linen shirt, the bud, has to be midoy, has to be fitted on him. What do we see from the word fitted? Midoy kamidos, it has to be fitted exactly according to his size. Shalo yechzar v'lo yoser, that the clothes have to go, his cloak, the long cloak he was wearing has to go right down, or the trousers that he was wearing has to go right to the floor, not be raised off the floor and not be dragging on the floor. It has to be exactly according to the height of the kohen. So you can't lift up his clothes and do the avoda that way. There's a halacha, it has to be exactly on the floor. Says the Gemara, do you know when it was that they would go in blood till their knees was a time when they were not doing the avoda? And since they were not doing the Avodah, they could lift up their clothes until their knee height. And what would they be doing that was not Avodah? Bahilochas Ivorim Lekevish, when they would be taking the Ivorim, the parts of the Korban that has to be put onto the Mizbeach, when they would take it to the ramp, that's not an Avodah. Delav Avodahi, it's not an Avodah. And since it's not an Avodah, then at that point they were submerged in the blood. V'loi, is it not an avoida? V'hamidaboya kahuna avoidahi. It's clear that a kohen has to do that. A Yisrael cannot bring the limbs and the innards of the animal to the ramp of the mizbeach. It has to be done by a kohen. Since it has to be done by a kohen, it must be it's an avoida. The Tani we learnt in the Braisa, v'hikriv hakohen, that the kohen brings near es hakoil hamizbeicha. Only a kohen is the one that has to bring the imurim to the mizbeach. Zoi lochas ivorim lekevish. This is bringing the ivorim to the ramp. It must be done by a kohen, so it must be an avoida. If it's an avoida, then the clothes have to be right onto the floor. Then again, at what point were they submerged in the blood without an issue of their clothes getting dirty, which means they were allowed to lift up their clothes, which means it wasn't an avoda. Elo ba'ilochas eitzim lemarocha. It's talking about when they would bring the woods onto the fireplace on top of the mizbeach, that wasn't an avoda, and at that point they would be submerged in the blood. T'lav avodahi. Says the Gemara, okay, granted, when they brought the woods up onto the mizbeach, then it wasn't an avoda, and they would be submerged in the blood. But b'hilochas evorim lekevesh, b'hilochas dam, what about all the other melochas they had to do? Bringing the evorim to the ramp. What about taking the blood to the mizbeach? Miho heicha ozli, how did they manage to go then? If there was so much blood, and it was an avoda, and the clothes had to be right on the floor, and they were not allowed to get stained, how is that possible? Answers the Gemara, Damaski a itztaba. They would be walking on platforms, and those platforms were right, they were attached to the ground, therefore they were not a chatzitza, they were made of stone, and therefore they would walk on top of them, and they would not get soiled by the blood. Continues the Gemara, Keitzad toilin u'mafshitin v'chulu, we saw in the Mishnah how they would hang and skin these animals after they were shechted, v'chulu, koru, they would tear open the animal, v'yitziwes imurav, they would remove the imurim that they knew had to go on the mizbeach, nosnum b'megis, they would put them into a bowl, v'hiktiron, and would burn them on the mizbeach, would offer them onto the mizbeach. And it seems from there that the ones that were opening and removing these parts were the ones that were bringing it to the mizbeach. Otu, could it be that hu gufe have a maktur luhu, that the very people that were Yisraelim, not Kohanim, who the Yisraelim who were doing the skinning of the hides and taking out the imurim, they were the ones to bring it to the mizbeach? Says the Gemara, no. Eima lehaktiron al gabe ha-mizbeach. Not vehiktiron, that the same people who are taking out the parts would bring it to the Mizbeach? No. They would remove the parts, lehaktiron, and just wait there until somebody, namely a Kohen, that was fit to take it to the Mizbeach, would come and take it to the Mizbeach, and Yisrael was not allowed to bring the Emurim closer to the Mizbeach at all. Continues the Gemara, Yotzo katri shoyno v'chulu, that when they were all finished and ready to go home, then they would take the animals, Yotzu v'tzolu es peschem, they would go home and roast the korban Pesach. Tono, we learned in the Braisa, kol echod v'echod noisin pischoi bo'oiroi. The skins have already been removed, and the korban Pesach had been opened, the parts that had to go on the Mizbeach were put on the Mizbeach, and now they were ready to take the animal home. So what they would do is they would put the animal, wrap it up within its own skin, umafshil la'achayrov, and hang it behind him, and that's how they would take it home. Omer of Ilish, Rav Ilish said, Tayois, you want to know exactly how they did this? They did this exactly the same way as the Arab merchants were used to carrying their merchandise. And the Mefarshim explained that Rav Ilish was not arguing. He was explaining how they would be mafshil la'achayrov, and the Mefarshim discuss here, there's a Yaivetz who discusses exactly what Rav Ilish was trying to impress on us by saying that this was the way that the Arab merchants did it, but that's how they would take the Korban Pesach home. Hadron aloch tomid nishchat, b'siyata d'shmai, we finished learning perek tomid nishchat, im yirtzeh Hashem we're going to do chazor on perek tomid nishchat, and in the next shir, im yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to start the next perek, perek elu dvorim.